This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Good morning. I'm going to read a short quotation which you possibly know very well. Farewell, Australia. You are a rising infant and doubtless someday will reign a great princess in the south. But you are too great and ambitious for affection. Yet not great enough for respect. I leave your shores without sorrow or regret. Charles Darwin, of course, he was a young lad, he'd been at sea for a long time. And we'll hear more of those details of how he got on and what he thought and what a remarkable fellow he was during this day. My name is Robin Williams, I do things on ABC Radio, and we're going to whip through the day with three sessions. The first one, the concise story of Darwin. The second one on the origin of species. And then talking about the legacy. We'll have several speakers followed by questions and answers in a lump at the end of each block. And we'll have separate chairs. And teas and lunch, by the way, will be in the hall downstairs, and at 1 o'clock I shall launch Tom Frame's marvellous book on Darwin and Australia. That's at 1 o'clock down in the Friends Lounge. So don't run away, at least not too far. Anyway, to welcome you this morning, please, I'll ask Craddock Morton, who's the director of the National Museum of Australia, to do the honours. Craddock, please.
Thanks very much, Robin. I'm going to be even briefer than Robin, and I'm not going to say anything at all about Darwin. But I do want to start by acknowledging the Ngunnawal Ngambri people, the traditional owners of the land on which this symposium is taking place, and to welcome everyone who is participating in the symposium. This is one of a number of symposia that we've had over the years which relate to exhibitions that are currently showing in the museum. We did one on deserts, we did one on Cook, now this one with Darwin. And for those of you who haven't seen it, I do want to commend the exhibition to you. I'm just back from New York from the American Museum of Natural History, where the show originated, and I was speaking to a number of people there who have taken the show or taken it in different versions. It's on, it's on in London, it's on in Milan at the moment. I saw it recently in Tokyo. And each one of the participants has added a section into the exhibition on the effect of Darwin on the thought of in their own country, and it's been quite an amazing phenomenon and quite a surprising phenomenon. When I first met Robin at the Eureka Moments in Science some years ago, I said I wanted to get more history of science into the museum. At that time we had very, very little, and this is a very good example, I think, of the sorts of things that we've been trying to do. We've been delighted with the success of the exhibition. It's exceeded our expectations, and certainly it was an exhibition which we didn't quite really know what the response would be, and the response has exceeded, as I say, our expectations. For those who haven't seen it, this is my commercial. For those who haven't seen it, we've also produced a book to go with the exhibition, Charles Darwin and Australian Selection, and the authors within this book, I'm happy to say, are here today. Robin, of course, is one of them. Tom Frame, whose book is being launched at lunchtime today, is another. Nick Drayson, who's chairing the first session, is a third, and Mike Pickering, who curated the exhibition, is the other one. So I commend this book to you. In New York last week, I was told by the Americans that they found this the most interesting book that had been produced in association with those who were showing the exhibition. I suspect that that was a piece of typical American politeness, but I'm prepared to take it at face value. I don't want to say anything more other than to say that I look forward with great interest to the outcomes of this session today. I want to thank everyone involved for taking the time to participate, and I want to thank the staff of the museum for once again doing a terrific job in putting the whole thing together. Thank you very much and welcome to the museum.
Yes, I'm very proud of that book on your behalf. I actually gave a copy to Adam Spencer for his 40th birthday. And in New York, I presented one to our retiring United Nations Ambassador, Robert Hill, previously of this parish when he used to be Defence Minister, a good friend of mine. And it's so wonderfully presentable because the first part, as you probably know, is Darwin's diary of being here in Australia. You can follow it each day and you can see his crossings out and see what a marvellous, lucid writer he was. And then we've got the three essays. And it's rather nice. I'm very pleased with what you've done. It's terrific. Thank you. Darwin is really out of the box. He is such a nice guy, and he could have been a shit, like Newton. Even Einstein was a bit peculiar. But Darwin was terrific. And he was also not the sort of person who necessarily was smart from the beginning. A bit like me and some of us, he kind of dawdled through and had this marvellous luck. He did something that most scientists these days neglect. He was born into a very rich family. So if you've got any kids growing up who want to be scientists, make sure you leave them several squillion bucks so that they can say, oh, what do I want to do next? Oh, I'll go and do that for 5 years. The other thing about him I find staggering is if you take away evolution, he would have been great anyway. On so many fronts, it's almost unbelievable. He wrote 19 books. Well, some people say 16, as they do downstairs. Hundreds of different sorts of papers, totaling something like 6 million words, going from barnacles, orchids, insect-eating plants, earthworms, the expression of emotions in dogs, apes, and people, all really understanding original things as you could not believe coming from the sophistication of the 21st century. He had no apparatus worth speaking of. None of this smart stuff that we have that allow you to work out tremendous things by homing straight into the essence of life. You know, a couple of examples. One of them, what he did with worms towards the end of his life. If you go to a particular part of Cambridge, you can see in one of the old colleges or attachments to the college how deep the earth was. England rose by something like a yard or nearly a metre over a fairly short time, and that was done by worms. So what did Darwin do? He stuck a post in his back garden and watched how the earth rose up against that post and deduced from it some wonderful things about earthworms, some of the last stuff that he did. Another example to do with botany, when you imagine how it is that plants grow, and you fill in the earth right to the tip of the plant, and it still grows. So clearly something is affecting the tip, and if you work out the next bit, that something must go down to the other part of the plant, transmitted by some sort of messenger. So he inferred what we now know as auxins and gibberellins, the plant hormones. This is stupendous stuff. And then when you look at the implications of evolution, he wrote a book that has been, well, several books, but the main one we know is going to be published 150 years ago in November, Origin of Species. All aspects of that could be tested. You can look into the cell of most people in this room, I hope, most people in this room, and you'll see 23 pairs of chromosomes. Look at apes and you see 24. Is the whole idea wrong? Will it come crashing down? Because it looks that way if you look immediately at the molecules. Then you go in further and you see chromosome number 2 is in fact joined in the middle. So you've got two chromosomes linked by telomeres. That's just one of the examples that you get at each stage of some of the revelations that have come since the publication of Origin of Species. It's a wonderfully exciting intellectual exercise, and it's around a human being who is both personable and exciting and interesting. And then, of course, you get the philosophical aspects that people like Tom Frame and others will talk about, which make the whole thing so broad and fascinating. And we can do so today, as has happened, I think, more and more in the 21st century, in a spirit of goodwill, despite the standoffs that have happened in various parts of the world, not least America. So it's enough from me. The concise story is going to be chaired by Nick Drayson, who's a dear friend of mine, who wrote a shocking, extraordinary novel about Darwin confessing a murder, which tells the whole story of how Wallace and he, Darwin, and Emma got embroiled in a, as yet disclosed, until Nick disclosed it, shocking drama, and how it was all wiped out just after Darwin's death by the explosion near Krakatoa. The latest book written by Nick, who of course is a natural historian attached to this esteemed establishment, is A Guide to the Birds of East Africa, which is a total delight, and I urge you to get hold of. And you can even give it to your children and they won't be shocked. Would you please welcome to chair the session Nick Drayson.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.